What a horrible, horrible Christmas vacation, man. I'm back, everybody. This is your latest Q&A Ask DT for Monday, December 28th, 2020. The way 2020 has dealt to us, could you expect anything less than to go out like that? Really sad, man. Really sad. It's no secret. I have never hid my fandomhood for Brody Lee, Luke Harper. In my first memories of ever seeing him live and in person, he fought Grim Reefer for Jersey Old Pro Wrestling about, I don't know, 12 years ago. And loved his work. Dead, age 41. Now, obviously, this episode is a Q&A, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time right here paying tribute to him. I will tell you that tonight on Breakfast Soup, and for all of you that will be watching this after December 28th, on the December 28th edition of Breakfast Soup Raw, trust me, Mish and I will pay a really nice tribute to Brody Lee. Most of what we say is going to come from here, not from here. But I tell you, just really, really awful, awful. I don't want to get into any specifics that has not been made public yet. I had spoke to a few people privately, tried to get some answers without being invading any privacy. The only thing I will say right now, you know, we always say over the years, and you've heard me say this, especially over the last 9 months here on YouTube, never take time for granted. Never take your family for granted. Never take the days that you have for granted. Just like that, it could be taken away from you. Maybe not from you, yourself, but a loved one, a friend, a family member, and always cherish the time that you have. Because, as I've said many times, the one thing that I don't think I could ever really deal with is having one of my parents pass. And then I go to the rest of my life saying, if I only spent more time with them, if I could have said goodbye one more time, if I could have done this. That's why I spend as much time as I can with my family. And I'll also say this, without getting too deep into this right now, 41 years old is an extremely young age to pass. And I know there's some information that is out as of right now as far as what caused Brody Lee, John Huber's passing. But I'll leave you with this for now. You know, it is so important that if something doesn't feel right with your body, and even if everything feels perfect, always keep up with your checkups. You know, me now, since I'm getting a little bit older, now I got to worry more about colonoscopies. If anybody remembers, because I posted pictures of it on my Patreon about 2 years ago, they found like five polyps, one the size of a macadamia nut. I had diverticulitis surgery 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, which was not fun at all. I had a cancer scare, which really, really shook the foundation of yours truly. And I'll tell you, that cancer scare kind of lit a fire under my ass to really enjoy everything I do. Thank God it ended up not being that. But my point is, keep up with your appointments. And if something just doesn't seem right, whether it's a visible cough or whether it's just something inside and it's an extended period of time, just go to the doctor. Get it checked out, because you never know what it could lead to. That's all I want to say right now. Now, one of the questions that came in late, right before I did this episode, Puffy89, what's up, my friend? With the untimely passing of Brody Lee, what is my favorite Brody Lee Luke Harper moment? And what happens to the Dark Order from here on out? Well, as far as the Dark Order, they've been going on without Brody Lee for a while. And I tell you the truth, how they've been teasing Hangman Page, how they've been teasing Dustin, you kind of look back on it now and you could see that the teasing of getting a new member, or maybe as a new exalted one, might have been preparation for the Dark Order without Brody Lee. I'm not saying that they expected Brody Lee to pass. I mean, you look back, I don't want to get too much into it here, but you think as far as a week ago or so, you know, having Kenny Omega get pinned by Brody Lee's son, who's I think like 8 years old, to become the AEW champion. I mean, you know, you look at things like that and it's so touching, but it makes you also sad because you almost think that they kind of knew. But I'll tell you, Puff 89, my favorite Luke Harper, Brody Lee moment of all time. I could go to matches. There's been some great matches over his career. I could get into some matches that he wrestled here in the Northeast that 99% of you out there have never seen. I could bring up NXT work. I could bring up Wyatt family stuff. But I'll tell you, you know, being a Brody Lee fan, and trust me, there was no way for me to just magically get this shirt today. I've worn it proud on these shows in the past. I was always a big fan of his. I tell you, I have so many autographed Luke Harper cards inside because the Wyatt family was the shit for me. And, you know, I always collected sets and might start putting some of them up on eBay. I know it's something you're going to say right away, oh, you're profiting. No. I think whatever money comes in, send it to the family. You know, New Year's Eve, we're doing a podcast here. And, you know, I was thinking about maybe doing something related to charity. I'm not sure. You know, things like that usually leave to the pros, you know, the big boys. But getting back to Puffy's question, because I was such a fan of his and because of the frustration to see how he was used in WWE and everything else, I will never forget, I think it was Halloween when WWE was in Saudi Arabia and they had that battle royal, and it came down to, if I remember correctly, Humberto Carrillo, Cedric Alexander, Harper and Rowan. And the whole Saudi audience started chanting, "Let's go Harper. Let's go Harper." And I know that that was a moment that really, really affected him. And it was awesome, man. It was awesome. I talked about it then. I could bring up matches, but that moment, it was like, that felt good. As a big Luke Harper, Brody Lee fan, that felt good. So, but 41 years old, rest in peace. It's no more pain. Well, pain continues to family and friends and fans. But as far as his suffering and what he was going through. And you know what's so terrible about it? You look at how quickly this took the big man down. And if that could happen to him, it could happen to any one of us. So, sorry to be a little down about it, but I'd rather be just realistic and straight up and honest. But the one thing that is awesome is looking at all of the tributes and the stories that are being told from the wrestling community and all sides of the aisle. Just absolutely awesome. And I, you know, Big E made a comment, pretty much the nice version of what I said on Twitter over the weekend. Big E cried so much the last couple of days with friends, and he's seen some of the worst as far as the wrestling world goes, especially social media, and he hopes that this brings out a little more good. And when I made my tweet saying that right now those clicking noises you hear, all those people that took all those massive personal shots at Luke Harper, Brody Lee, over the last couple of years are all deleting their tweets, you know, not deleting their whole history, because you do that and then you'll say, wait a minute, this person only started talking about him a year ago. But, you know, the point is that it shouldn't take a wrestler's death for people to come together. It should not take Christmas for people to want to put by let bygones be bygones. You know, if you need a holiday to try to get people to come together, there's something wrong with you. You know, I try to be the best I can be and the friendliest and the caring and always there for people 24/7, 365. Sure, there's many times that I might not be able to do that. But the thing is that you should not need a death or a holiday or any type of tragedy for people to say, oh, we could do better. We need to do better. Because 2 weeks later, when that pain wears away for some, it's right back to what they're doing. That's that formula I was talking about on social media. You're seeing it in full force right now. I know some people out there really can't handle blunt honesty like that, brutal honesty, but that's on them. That's on them. So anyway, let's get into the other questions. Paul Bielowski, shout out to you, my friend. Wherever Mish and I decide to go in 2021, he is definitely following. Just let him know. And what platform? We're not going anywhere. We are expanding. I know some people out there, just to try to stir it up, you know, with the YouTube memberships that we're working on, oh, that's a money grab. Well, you know what? If we give 6-7 shows a week, I think we should be able to make something out of it. Keep the shows on YouTube as commercial-free as possible. And this is where you all come in. Any ideas you have for the memberships? Like, we've already come up with, you know, custom emojis, custom badges. When we do Q&As, you get first dibs. Your questions are answered first, and you can ask 100. We're even, some of you came up with a membership idea that once a month, Mish and myself call you and talk one-on-one for a few minutes. We're also thinking of making some exclusive merchandise that we will randomly give away. So the one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to take away from everybody's enjoyment here. So we're going to tread that lightly. I don't think it's going to start in January. I think February 1st would be probably the way to go. But I will tell you, whatever we do, it's going to be additions, not by subtraction. We're not going to take anything away from here. We have an awesome Patreon family that is totally separate from YouTube, other than the fact that they do get ad-free content. So, you know, we're working on that. But somebody asked in the questions, in fact, a few of you said New Year's resolutions. One of them, for me, is to not waste any time and dedicate all my time to my family, myself, you, my fiance, my health, and everything about yours truly. 2021 will be a very selfish year for yours truly. But honestly, I think everybody will benefit from that. We'll get to that a little bit later. Jeremiah Johnson, what's up, my friend? Would I ever go on the masterclass of podcasts? Are you talking about the podcast masterclass I did with John Dumas? Is that his name, John Lee Dumas? And the reason why Jeremiah says that is it's no secret I've been doing this since 1997. Back in 2003, I thought of this idea of recording my wrestling hotlines, which were discussions, and playing them on the internet so everybody could enjoy them for free. That was before webcasts were a thing. Some people call yours truly the godfather, the pioneer of wrestling podcasts, you know? And look, I know I've seen Conrad Thompson take claim to being the podfather, and others have said it. I don't own the rights to it. I don't own the word. Podfather is in the eye of the beholder. So doing this since 97, it's been a lot of fun. And I'm not ready to shut it down yet. But I do not think that I would fit on that master of podcasting. Because I will never be 100% polished. I will never be 100% politically correct. I will always go against the grain. I will speak my mind. I will ruffle feathers. I will tick some people off. That is the core of me. And because of that, I don't think, you know, I could give that type of real professional advice. My advice is simple. I get so many of you that ask me, you know, and sometimes I tread water because I don't want to give advice and it come off as pot shots towards other people. But that is a New Year's resolution in 2021. As far as other podcasters go, people that you all think are competition to me, people that I've had issues with, people who say shit about me, 2021, I'm moving on as if they don't exist, period. Anybody that wants to try to ruffle feathers, they're just going to be ignored. And if you could notice, even in my tone right now, very, very calm. A lot of soul searching the last couple of days, not just because of Brody Lee's passing, but, you know, spending the holidays with family and having the health issues that my parents have and really having to, you know, swallow the fact that they don't have many Christmases left. So you got to really make them the most cherished as possible. So my advice as far as podcasting is much different than what you see on those shows. Yeah, they could be very technical as far as software and downloading this and that. But the number one advice I would ever give any of you out there to do a podcast is learn to do your own thing. Learn how to do it. There is much more than just talking, and done. Learn how to, I know it sounds ridiculous to some of you out there, but learn how to record audio. I mean, in 1993, when the internet first came around, how many of you out there would record like wrestling themes off to the computer with the WAV file, use Goldwave, Audacity, and, you know, even when we had hacks to Real Media and Real Player? I mean, you know, you got to learn to do your own stuff. And it's always good to have friends that could help you, but you got to be able to do it yourself. And that's why you see a lot of podcasts fail. And that's why you see a lot of podcasts never lift off the ground. Because when you depend on everyone else to do your stuff, you're almost at their mercy. And, you know, I've helped a lot of people over the years. Mish, my God, you have no idea how many podcasts that man has helped. If that guy ever decided to let you all know, read a resume, you'd be like, holy shit, he was involved in that? Holy shit, yeah. That man has helped so many podcasts out there. But it gets to a point that, you know, you got to help yourself before anything else. I don't ever like being in a helpless situation that because I don't know how to do this or how to do that, and if somebody I need to rely on is not there, you know, that somehow they're doing something wrong. You know, early on, I depended on Mish for a few things. And when Mish was not around for whatever reasons, doing his own show, spending time with his family, or maybe just, you know, doing things that have nothing to do with wrestling. Oh, Mish, he's fucked up. He's not around. This and that. He owes nothing to me. So my advice is more simpler and more common sense, but always know how to do your own thing, because this way you're in total control. And doing a podcast is not hard. Anybody could literally get some type of a microphone. Doesn't have to be video. You know, video's not the be all end all, even though I've moved on to video and I'm here to stay. But you could get set up in literally 30 minutes. So, Michael Gonzalez, he noticed that I am really good at voice impressions and making sound effects. So he was wondering, have you ever thought about becoming a voice actor? I was never good at impressions. I think the only impressions I ever did when I was a kid was Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy. You know, and you've all heard my Kermit the Frog. And I'm kind of mellow right now, so I don't know if I could actually do it. Kermit the Frog, you're... And I used to do an awesome Miss Piggy. I used to do, like, X-rated Miss Piggy. Look at me, look at me, What are you doing? I can't do it anymore. My voice has gotten deeper as I've gotten older. But I used to do mostly Muppets. But then just doing little impersonations here and there. And when I used to work for a Jewish deli, you know, I was the only Italian ever to work in a famous Jewish deli here in New York called Ben's Best. Recently shut down about a year or two ago because of all the crappy changes to our state. People couldn't park anymore by his establishment to go in and eat. There was no parking. And I, to this, to, from the beginning to the end, I was the only Italian ever to work there. And you'd have people come in. And if you've ever seen Coming to America, I think the sequel is coming out in 2021. And when one of them imitates like a Jewish guy in a hair salon. And I used to get people who would come in and like, give me filter fish. You know, like I used to be able to do a funny like Jewish accent. There's no malice involved. It's not racist. Just impersonations. But, you know, in 2021, you got to be a lot more careful. But no, I never thought about being a voice actor. I've had two opportunities in the past to be an extra on, you know, on shows. One was The Sopranos and one was some movie. I don't even know what. The funny thing is, if anybody's ever been on Patreon or ever been on my personal Facebook page, you've seen the 45 minutes of footage when Robert De Niro filmed scenes of The Good Shepherd, that movie that came out like 10, 15 years ago. Robert De Niro used my father's house for like the production equipment and this and that. And literally, I got to put a couple of seconds of it on YouTube so you all could see it. I'm literally sitting on my stoop and Robert De Niro is about 8 feet in front of me with a producer's chair sitting on our driveway. And that was awesome. That was awesome. But there was at one point that there was rumblings that we could have possibly been an extra in that as well. But the thing was that the costume, because it was based on, like, I guess the 60s, that we did not have the right costumes at the time. Plus, I was a lot heavier, too. I don't even think I could have fit into the costumes. But I tell you, great memories, but I never would be a voice actor. Believe it or not, I think Mish has the ultimate voice for commercials. That guy should be doing a lot more voice work. Absolutely, man. Doug Eaton, what are my thoughts about Eric Bischoff challenging Vince to a match in WCW from Slamboree 98? I remember when that happened. I was doing a hotline at the time. And I remember as it went down, it was surreal. And I remember the whole thing when he was king and he was on his Harley and just, you know, absolutely calling out Vince McMahon. You know, the funny thing about it is, you know, we always wondered at the time, like, if Vince would have accepted the challenge. Like, I'll tell you this much. Us as wrestling fans, my friends, the people I hung out with at the time, none of us ever thought that it would be a shoot wrestling match. We did think that Vince McMahon was so pissed off at Eric Bischoff for all the trolling and the spoilers of matches and this and that, that maybe Vince would have just really legitimately laid one in on Eric Bischoff. But Eric Bischoff knows martial arts, and I think Eric Bischoff probably would have beat the crap out of Vince McMahon. But we were all curious to see if Vince would show up or if someone from WWF would have showed up. Did we really think the match was ever going to happen? No, not at all. But we thought maybe somebody shows up and, you know, somebody could really talk and really just embarrass Bischoff on the mic. But, you know, because it's sports entertainment, I mean, if Vince would have showed up, what do you think would have happened? I think there would have just been a lot of yelling, and they probably would have had to pull apart, you know, for real. They probably would add some security legitimately in there, and that's all that would have happened. But I loved that Bischoff was trolling Vince. You know, and believe it or not, even though I say that Tony Khan is making mistakes, throwing darts at NXT, poking the bear, there's a little side of me that absolutely enjoys it. because WWE, any wrestling promotion is competition to WWE. And you poke that bear, it forces WWE's hand. I think us as wrestling fans in the end will benefit because of whatever. You know, I personally enjoyed it in 1998, enjoyed it very much. Shout out to Mohsin Ahmed from the UK. Much love, my friend. Thank you for the support. I appreciate that very much. Happy holidays and happy new year. Danny, to November 18th. What do I think about some companies asking for 3 months' notice to resign from a job? You know, look, if I worked for companies in the past that I was fired, and I couldn't even say goodbye to people. They'd have security escort me out the building. Oh, can I get my things? No, no, no. We'll send it to you in a box. You know, or leave it at the front and your dad could pick it up or something like that. So if a company is asking for 3 months' notice to resign from a job, first of all, you know, I don't think anybody would ever be forced to give 3 months' notice. But because we're in COVID and because of the special circumstances and because hiring someone to replace a person might be a lot more difficult, especially if they have to work from home, especially if they don't have, I could see where some companies would say, look, could you give us a little more time while we find someone else and train them and see who could fit in? Remember, this is something so important I think a lot of people forget. You know, you've heard me in the past talk about people on social media that won't show you their face. They'll either show you baby pictures, pictures that are 20, 30 years old, or cartoon characters as their profiles. And no matter how nice they type or how nice they sound or how whatever it is, you truly don't know anything about that person. You only know what you perceive that person to be, or maybe what you want that person to be. You go for a job. You get on a job interview. Having a face-to-face conversation and how you come off, not just the way you look, the way you present yourself, the way you talk, the way this, the way that, that's all very critical in a job interview, the do's and don'ts. So now you're doing job interviews from Zooms. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Zoom, 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 zoom. Remember that club song? Zoom, zoom, zoom. All I want to do is a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. Just shake your butt. All I want to do is a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. Check, baby, one, two, three, four. Check, baby, one, two, three. See, I've used follow old school hip hop. Everybody thinks, you know, I used to love that song, too. Da-na-na-na-na. Now, some people out there have no idea what I'm talking about. Just go on YouTube. And it's funny when you don't know the name of a song, you just type like a couple of words from the song and it pops up anyway. Just type it on YouTube. All I want to do is a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. Oh, man. You know, somebody actually said to me that they would pay for me to just read like rap lyrics just in my normal voice. Like this real, like all I want to do is a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. Just shake your butt. I think Tony Schiavone did that not too long ago. But I would never do that for the simple reason that I can imagine people bringing up some rap songs with some really harsh lyrics and a lot of expletives with some N-words involved, and you never ever hear those words come out of my mouth. But getting back to the whole company thing, so now because you're doing interviews through a computer, it is much, much different. So look, if a company asks for a little bit extra time, you know, if you're really unhappy with a company, no, you give your 2 weeks notice or whatever the agreement is when you got hired and that's it. Tough on them. You know, but if you could stay the extra time and they're paying you for it and they're not giving you hell on the way out, I would do it. I would do it, and I wouldn't make any more demands. There's some people out there that are very cutthroat. You know, oh, you want me to stay 3 more months? Then give me another $5 an hour. Be like, you know what? Instead of 3 months, 3 hours. Bye-bye. Yoshiki Takaya, what's up, my brother? Happy holidays. Thank you very much for the support. I appreciate it. Thank you. Brian M., where do I get this crazy worth ethic from? Now, I feel bad for patrons sometimes when I get questions like that because I've told this. One thing about Patreon, I don't compare Patreon to YouTube. One might be apples, one might be bananas. They might both be fruit, but they're two totally different pieces of fruit. One thing that happens on Patreon more than anything else is we get very, very raw and very real and very personal. You get it a little bit here, but over there, it's a very intimate atmosphere. There's only a couple hundred people that are on there, and there's no outsiders, you know, viewing anything. And they truly dictate as far as what is discussed on the shows. So a lot of the really deep convo I brought up there in the past. But as far as my work ethic, it's my father. It's easily my father. You know, that white privilege stuff pisses me off because a lot of people don't know what it's like to grow up and have your father work 16, 18-hour days. No joke, three different jobs just so we can have a roof over our head, just so we can eat, just so we could have a good education. And I've brought this up many times in the past. There was probably about an 8-year stretch that it was like clockwork. It was a regular schedule every day. I'd wake up at like 7 o'clock in the morning. My father's already gone at work. I go to school. I come home 3, 4, 5 o'clock, whatever it is. I eat dinner, get my stuff ready. About 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, my father comes home. And usually the table is only set for him because we've already eaten. And he would eat like his bowl of squash or a bowl of escarole and maybe something else. 5 minutes at the table. We'd say hello to him, everything, and he'd be like, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to go take a bath. And he would go right up into his bedroom, take a bath, and go to sleep for 4 hours. That was his life for about 8 years. But so his work ethic was filthy, you know, as far as, you know, how deep it was. But I always tell this quick story, very quick. This really subconsciously changed how I handle things. I was in my early 20s, and I'll never forget it. It was a summer day. I was in my 20s, and my father was working in front of our house. I don't know if he was redoing our fence, brick fence or whatever, but he was doing some big-time labor work. I came home, must have been early afternoon. I remember it being scorching hot outside. I parked the car, and I walked past my father. I said, hey, Dad. I walked into the house, plopped my ass on the couch, and watched TV. I must have been there for maybe 2, 3 hours, and my mom filled up this giant pitcher of ice water and brought it outside for my dad, and my dad was walking back and forth, lifting all his heavy cement and stuff like that. And I just sat on my ass and watched TV. And by the time, like, it hit me, like, maybe he needs help. And I went outside. He's like, no, 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 I'm okay. And I remember him having sweat balls dripping from his nose. That's how much this man was sweating. And, you know, I actually told my father that story about 2, 3 years ago. And he almost started crying. And I told him, I said, Dad, you know, there's a story I always wanted to apologize for that I never got to apologize to you. And he said, what is it? And I told him the story. I said, you remember about 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I came home on a Saturday or something and you were working on the fence and I sat and watched TV while you were killing yourself outside and I never asked you for help until you were pretty much done. I said, that always stuck with me. And I said that it always gave me guilt that I didn't work my ass off as much as my father. My father almost started crying because he never ever in a million years ever thought that, you know, that I remembered that. But as I was telling him the story, you know, he's got this look on his face like, if the looks could talk, he would have been like, holy shit, you remember? He's like this. And you could see his eyes welling up. So I get the work ethic from my father. I have a little depression as well. I don't like the pain that I still live with because of my car accident. I don't like the fact that, you know, what's going on in my family's health. COVID has screwed up a whole year where I should have been close to being married by now. So I have a little bit of depression, nowhere on the level of others. So I find keeping myself busy and making people smile and laugh and get their mind off their problems make me feel good as well. So there's a lot of reasons why I do it. Plus, it's very, very enjoyable and satisfactory to look at something that you created, or you built with your own two hands. You could buy it. You could have people do it for you. You could have it handed to you. But there's nothing like doing something with your own two hands, even with shows, maybe two proverbial hands. And when the product is finished and you know that you put in all of that extra time and didn't just talk and that's it, that's a cool feeling to have. And that's why, like I say, you know, people always try to compare me to other shows out there. You know, there's some people on YouTube, all they have are video shows. 75 to 80% of my, I don't like saying fans, my family that tune into these shows, which is all of you, 75 to 80% still only access audio only, which is fine. You know, I've accepted that. Not everybody, you know, wants to be on YouTube, and I understand the reason why. It makes total sense. So when they compare me to shows that all they have is video, I find it very unfair. But, you know, the thing is, you know, I take pride knowing that since 1997, when somebody clicks on a Don Tony show, whether I'm doing it with other people or by myself, they're not expecting guests. You know, there's a lot of podcasts out there that get a lot of viewers and listeners based on who they have on. They always have a special guest, always have a famous person, always have a favorite. And you never know how many people are tuning in for the actual host or because of the guest that they're on. So the fact that so many of you tune in and know that what you see is what you get, that is humbling, especially after all these years. That's humbling. I don't know if anybody else out there has been doing this longer than me. It's in the wrestling world. Meltzer has done shows for a very long. I don't know if he's done it as consistent as me since 97. It's humbling to have all of you out there still supporting. And, you know, like people always try to say to me, even people that have blue check marks and people that you see on TV, they say to me like, look, haters are going to hate when you're doing something right. They're going to come out. You got to just block it. Block the noise. Public Enemy. Then they have Bring the Noise. This is Block the Noise. Wrestle Kingdom predictions. I don't know, man. I haven't paid much attention. I know that there was some spoilers that came out a couple of days ago that New Japan is very pissed off about. Of course they're going to be pissed off. As far as favorite current Japanese wrestler, you know, I always loved Okada. It seems like Juice Robinson is getting a lot of momentum, and I give that guy credit because I remember a couple of years ago where he was and where he is now, and it's very impressive to see, you know, his development. You know, I will tell you with the utmost honesty that when you still had the Bullet Club with Gallows and Anderson and ultimately AJ Styles and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and, you know, obviously the Japanese contingent as well, that was my favorite time of enjoying New Japan. But, you know, I'm going to take a look, and maybe on Wednesday, if not Wednesday, then maybe Friday, I'll get into. Because, look, Wrestle Kingdom is coming up very, very soon. So we'll see how Wednesday is. I tell you, because it's going to be the day before New Year's Eve, we should be able to blow through the shows a little bit faster. That'll give me some extra time to talk Wrestle Kingdom. So probably Wednesday I'll get into it. And remember, New Year's Eve, it looks like we will be doing a show. As of right now, I am hosting it, but I already talked to Mish. Mish said that he'd like to stop by for a little while. So right now I have Shaheen Nuclei Graphics making up two templates for me. One with just one video signal, which would be me. Then I have another template with two video signals. This way, if Mish wants to come on, or maybe another podcaster that has video wants to come on for a little while, all I got to do is just send him a link to click on and pipe him right in. So, but it's not 100% yet, but I'd say it's about 96% definite that I will be here New Year's Eve. Looks like from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern to rein in the new year and just chat about whatever. And then we'll build on that on Thursdays. Thursdays will be, you know, just regular Q&A, talk about whatever. It could be wrestling, non-wrestling. You know, that's one thing that so many of you in YouTube have been asking me for. DT, you got to do a show that is just like, just regular talk, like sitting on the couch, sitting at a table, just blabbing about whatever. Life, sports, shows, whatever. And obviously those who tune in will be the ones to dictate where the conversations go. So we're looking to do that every Thursday. I don't know what the set time will be. I'd like for it to be earlier so we could finish at a reasonable time, because it's not fun going to sleep at 2-3 o'clock in the morning and having to get up at 6, especially multiple days during the week. At my age, it starts to affect you. I could tell you that Christmas Day, the day after Christmas and yesterday, all 3 days, I woke up between 11 a.m. and 12 noon. So that tells you, like, when you got to get up at 6, then maybe I need to be going to sleep 5 hours earlier, which would screw up shows. So I'll keep everybody updated. We'll get it set up. We'll get it set up. You're on my undercard. He feels like my outlook on everything from wrestling politics to COVID has become a lot more positive, and it's translated in how I review wrestling. And it seems to be a lot more positive than a few years ago. What would say for me has made me more positive as the years go by. And if he could only have one question, ignore this. No, I answered two. What would I say is the main thing NXT is missing and AEW is not? I've said this before, NXT is too organized. NXT, and I understand that they got to showcase some wrestlers, even if they're not connecting. But NXT is more set on the future and not worried about the present. They'll throw, and I don't like naming individuals, but they'll throw Jake Atlas and Isaiah Swerve Scott out there right before the New Year's, right before this. And it's like, no, nobody's really into that right now. Or they'll keep throwing Leon Ruff out there. They'll keep throwing this person out there. They'll keep throwing that. And you say to yourself, it just feels like there's no urgency. That's why I try to block a lot of that noise. So NXT needs to showcase more of the people that bring them to the table. I mean, you know, I understand what you're saying. Well, you know, they just worked last week. They worked the pay-per-view. They worked this. Yeah. But they're also not working all these crazy-ass house shows. So their schedule is still a lot lighter than before. Some people should be, you know, portrayed on TV every single week. And the difference that NXT does is they don't emphasize a lot of the storylines. Like AEW make a storyline feel extremely important, then not do anything for 2 or 3 weeks. That's a mistake. NXT, it's almost the opposite. NXT, you'll have some storylines, and they like to do these injury angles to as an excuse to keep someone off TV for a couple of weeks. Now, as far as the positive, look, social media is the reason. Social media, you look at any people that you might be suspect of, and you just look at their social media and 90% of what they write is negative. And there's this sick formula that goes on that I've talked about before. And there's an old saying, misery loves company. And the more miserable people get, the more angry they get at people that are happy. I started noticing this about 2 or 3 years ago, that better things were happening and I was looking to advance and branch out. And I'm sorry if this is doing this. I'm actually home a couple of hours early and a couple of customers are being annoying. And I'll get back to them after the show is over. We don't have that much more to go. But I noticed that people that who claimed to have been very supportive of me were talking a lot of shit behind my back. And I think that you could hear it. And I got to put it on silent. I don't think people get the message the first time I don't answer. So there's some people out there that are extremely bitter at people's success. And I've seen this toxic laziness set in on social media. The last 9-10 months with COVID is a perfect example of that. You know, I've had people tell me or try to throw in my face that because I worked for the last 10 months and I made money and paid the bills as best as I could, that that was some type of privilege. Meanwhile, these people are sitting home for 10 months blaming everything except for their lazy fat asses. And then at the end, the way to resolve their problems is to get a $2,000 stimulus check. You know, so there's so much toxic out there that I've just decided, you know what? When I had my cancer scare 2 years ago, that rocked me. That rocked me. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just start enjoying myself more. The more I blocked in some of the noise and the more I enjoyed myself, the more bitter I saw people getting. And then when little things happen, like getting engaged and other things, and seeing some people not saying a peep about it, only like a day or two after, once they realize everybody else said something and they're sticking out because they didn't say anything, then you see what, and then people DMing other people and saying things behind my back, not thinking that I wouldn't. So the more positive I got, the more shit talking was done behind my back. And now I'm like, you know what? You know, full steam ahead. And nobody should keep you down. Nobody should, you know, make you feel guilty for having fun, being successful, working hard, you know, earning whatever you get. You know, you should not ever feel guilty for that. And unfortunately, social media, that is toxic right now. So I know sometimes it's my fault. I allow the noise to creep in and I talk about it. But I've just decided that, you know, I've made that phrase 10 months ago. Do I want to tweet or do I want to eat? And sure, I tweet a little bit here and there. But there are people out there who have traded in a real, you know, active outside life for a persona that they created on social media. And if they could get 50 to 100 likes every couple of days, you know, that's good enough for them. And, you know, it's just, I just stay away from it. I focus on me. I'm telling you, a lot of you out there, believe me when I say this, this might sound wrong, but it's so right. The more you are selfish and give a shit about yourselves instead of what others say about you, you'll be 10 times happier and it'll rub off. And the challenge is, as your happiness grows, the jealousy and the negativity will grow around you. And it's a challenge to deal with that. But at the end of the day, you know, misery may get a lot of company online, but misery doesn't pay the bills, you know, unless you fraud people into, you know, giving you money for whatever reasons. You know, when I do shows and this and that, you know, we're doing something and giving something in return. There are people out there that'll claim all this stuff for GoFundMes and charity drives and this and that, and you have no proof of it whatsoever. And there, we've caught some people lying about charitable causes. So that's why I always say, you know, even when we did a little bit of charitable work here through YouTube, we donated money for Chad Gaspard's family. We donated money to one of the Black Lives Matter causes in the summertime. I always posted the receipts and all the information to be transparent about it. And, you know, I just try to block everything out as much as possible. In 2021, I'm telling you, for people right now to be like, yeah, okay, DT, yeah, we've heard that before. It's going to be as if a nuclear bomb was dropped. And everybody that I have always let creep in to my verbiage here and stuff like that, not going to be creeped in. That's it. And, you know, we'll move on from all the noise. So, but thank you for noticing that. Thank you for noticing that, because I get that a lot on DMs and emails. There's a lot of you out there that contact me privately because, look, there was a guy the other day that just gave me so much thanks and appreciation for the year, and right away you get a loser that's like, oh, you know, what do you pay for DT stuff? Or what do you say? I'm like, you know, the guy just wants to show a little appreciation for what we do here. You know, that's what's lurking out there. So a lot of you just contact me privately and tell me privately so you don't have to deal with lurkers and trolls and jealous people. So, Kevon Lewis, have I ever thought about mentoring someone that's looking to do it? You know, mentoring for a podcast, I don't think really could be. People, you can, your hard work or your style or the way you tackle things or your mode, your method of your madness, that could rub off on people. But you got to feel it here. The problem with a lot of podcasters out there is they do it to feel important. They do it to feel relevant. They do it to feel like a celebrity. And honestly, those are wrong reasons to do it. I mean, if you want it, you go out and get it. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that want it, that want the status, that want the fame, that want all that attention, but won't work for it. That's why you see a lot of podcasts go under. That's why you see a lot of podcasts who, you know, will say, oh, next month we're going to do this, and I'm going to launch this and that. And then a month goes by, and 2 months go by, 3 months go by, 4 months go by. Guys, gals, not even video. How many times could you write on this channel right now, you could do a podcast, learn and do it, and I'd be online in 30 minutes. And you realize that there are people out there that need to latch on to others, need others to do the work. So mentoring is not, it's not really the way to go about it, because you got to feel it in here. You got to have that drive. You got to have that, you know, that extra. And it's not simply just the technical thing. I'm telling you, there are some days, you know, that I'm tired. I got real work to do. I got a couple of pains in the you-know-whats right now, you know. And they mean well, but, you know, they're like, hey, where is he? And sometimes it's a little bit challenging to do the shows. But I tell you, 9 times out of 10, it's almost like Christmas for me. Like, oh, I'm going to do the show later on, this and that. And that's another thing that we're going to do in 2021. Keep the show simple. I added the timestamps, which everybody loves, but keep them simple. Only a couple of topics needed per episode. We do enough shows during the week that we don't have to cover 30 topics in one night. So doing more shows is not a problem. It's legitimately cutting down on the number of topics per ep. And if we do that, you know, you will see, I wouldn't mind doing 2 shows a day sometimes. If each one was only an hour long or 40 minutes long. So, Prince Albert's, with the vaccine finally released, do I think we could finally get the world back to normal in mid or late 2021? It's going to go years. We will have a sense of normalcy in the mid 2021 year. But there, I brought this up since February. Only half the country, United States, get flu shots. You're only going to get about half the country that is going to get the COVID vaccine. So what's going to happen is some people are going to force themselves into getting it done simply because they're losing out on other things. I'm the one that said in February or March that you would have to hold a card, the idea of keeping a card in your wallet, and you show proof that you got vaccinated in order to go to concerts. I said that in February and March. And I remember some of you here were like, oh, that's some new world order show. I remember that clearly. And now that seems to be the case. So guess what? If I want to go here, if I want to go there, if I want to do this, if I want to do that, and I'm not allowed if I haven't been vaccinated or been I'll probably be more inclined to get vaccinated. So, look, it will be a lot better in the summer of 2021, but there's still going to be a lot of people who will not get vaccinated, and that will remain a risk. There are some wrestlers that already said they're not getting vaccinated. They will remain to be a risk. There's going to be a lot of lawsuits in 2021 as far as can you, you know, discriminate because someone, you watch. So we will have some back to normal by the summer of 2021, but it's going to take a couple of years to have it eradicated, a couple of years at minimum. And there's going to be some countries that there's going to be corruption. There's going to be some countries that where the vaccine is going to be so expensive that some people are not going to be able to afford it. This COVID-19 will be around for years. Big Armada, 88, any plans for kids with my fiance in the future? Too personal. No, because I think I'm a little too old right now to have kids. I know some of you would say that's ridiculous, but my best friend, Joey, that I grew up with, I've told this story before. His parents didn't have him until they were in their 50s, like 55. And I think even his mom was like 58. And yeah, I know you do the math. You're like, how did she have him? She did. She had him at 57 or 58. She died at 71. He was like 13 years old. And his father lived longer, but you know, by the time he got married, his father, you know, like it felt he, what I'll never forget of my friend Joey is he felt like he was living with his grandparents. Never had that bond because they were so much older. And, you know, I could only imagine having a kid and they become a teenager and they go out, but, oh, you with your grandfather? Plus, it's so much responsibility, and I'm not going to lie to you. I know this sounds cold, but I don't know if I want kids living in the world we live in right now. I really don't know. It's going to take a generation for things to turn around. There's a lot of good people out there, you know, but there's so much going on. I don't know if I would want to bring children into this world. Just me being totally honest. So hopefully that answered your question. George Ford, what's more relevant, the storyline or the talent who delivers it? Probably the storyline. And the reason why I say that is because if someone is uber talented, you don't care about the storyline as much. You look at some wrestlers that are your favorites who have had Hall of Fame careers, and you will find some god-awful storylines that they were involved in. And you get past it because of who they are. So it's more important for a good storyline because a really good storyline, notice how some of the greatest storylines we've ever had only seem to consist of main eventers. You know, like there's been some storylines over the years that were spectacular, that was for the lower card tier. But for the most part, some of the greatest, overwhelmingly greatest storylines that we've ever gone through in our lifetime usually involved upper tier wrestlers. So that's why I say storylines are probably more important because a good storyline, you know, could help someone go to the next level. And it's challenging as well. You get put in an awesome storyline and you're on the lower card, that forces you to up your game, to back it up. And some people have gone to the next level because of, look at The Rock with The Nation of Domination. Rocky Maivia. I mean, that's the extreme example, but The Nation of Domination was controversial, but it was an awesome storyline. It elevated everybody that was in it. Even PG-13 for a short period of time felt a little bit more important than what they were in the WWF at the time. Tyree Jones, what's one feud that we never got to see that I would have loved to have seen? His is The Rock and Shawn Michaels. I tell you, even though it's more of a technical side, I would have loved to have seen babyface Kurt Angle versus 97 Bret Hart before the screw job. I think that would have been phenomenal. Not necessarily the feud he had with the Patriot, but I think Kurt Angle, Bret Hart would have been phenomenal. I would have really enjoyed to see that. There's others over the years, but that one comes to mind always. And, you know, it could have happened within a couple of years. Could have very well happened. If Goldberg never had that unfortunate incident with Bret Hart, we could have had that happen possibly in the WWF. Obviously, the Owen Hart tragedy was, you know, devastating, and that kept Bret away. So maybe those two circumstances, if those could have been avoided, we could have probably seen that feud. Gary Vaughn, breakfast is a big to-do at his house New Year's morning. What's my favorite breakfast before keto and what it is now? Believe it or not, dude, I'm not lying. There's only one item that is difference between my favorite breakfast before my keto diet that I'm on now and after. Because keto, you could have meats, you could have eggs, you could have bacon, sausage. Obviously, I don't get any that are, you know, cured with sugar. But bacon and eggs, bacon, sausage and eggs, nice omelet with onions, you know, maybe a little avocado in there. So I enjoy that. Actually, no, I take that back. There's two items that I would add. So as far as breakfast, egg, sausage, bacon, before and after is the same. The only difference is before, nice toasted bagel with loads of butter and home fries. Those are the two things I miss tremendously. Now, I have some form of bagel that's made with like almond flour and other stuff, but it's not the same. It's not the same, but that's what I miss. So the core breakfast is the same, but now I can't have my hash browns and my bagels. I've been thinking about having one, even though I'll probably deal with a couple of headaches for a day or two, but then I should be right back to where I was before. FC775, what were my initial thoughts of the going to Hollywood? I guess you mean of The Rock going to Hollywood. Did I turn on The Rock? Did I ever think we'd even see a wrestler like The Rock? You know, as The Rock became the superstar he was in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, and really got an insane following by fans, you could see. When he did Saturday Night Live, to me, that was it. I think he might have done Mad TV also, but when he did Saturday Night Live, you could see he's got it. He's got it. So, no, I didn't turn on The Rock for going to Hollywood. It totally made sense. We understood it. As a wrestling fan, we missed him being on TV. But when he came back, it was special. Now, yes, I remember CM Punk and others having things to say about him just making a return, taking other people's opportunity away. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, he popped crazy ratings. So, you know, The Rock, yeah, you could see that coming early on. I never thought he would be this gigantic, you know, uber superstar that he is now in Hollywood. And who knows 5 years from now, 5, 10 years from now, he could very well be in politics. So always been a fan of The Rock. There's been some times where I may not have enjoyed him as much as others, but always been a fan of him. Joe Maurer, in reference to last year's This Week in Wrestling History January episode, when the night the line was crossed, and the triple threat match of Sabu, Shane Douglas, and Terry Funk, did I ever find an answer over time whether this was the first triple threat match to be held in America? You want to know something? I will tell you this. There have been people over the years that have said that this was the first ever triple threat match to happen in America. I'm not going to lie to you. I find it difficult to believe to this day. Even though, and I look, for a little while, I checked old WWF house show results. I've checked old, you know, like Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I've checked other events. Never could find blah versus blah versus blah. And I find it really almost impossible that it took to almost the mid-90s to have a match involving three wrestlers instead of two. So to be honest with you, I think it has happened. I think it has happened before Sabu, Shane Douglas, and Terry Funk. I just think that people haven't looked hard enough for it. From my checking early on, I never came across another one. I've name-dropped Joel Goodhart a few times on this show this year, which is pretty cool because almost nobody out there ever brings him up, and he's a big reason for ECW to have ever existed. He was the preface for ECW. Something tells me that he did it. I don't know. Any of you out there still communicate with Joel? Ask him. Did you ever do a triple threat match before they did the night and the line was crossed? And trust me, if he did, I'm sure he'll remember. Eddie Lunchmeat, do I believe in any conspiracy theories? I do believe in aliens. I do believe in UFOs. I do believe in life outside of where we are. I do believe in some phenomenons. I don't believe like 911 was an inside job or anything like that. You know, I mean, I could understand why people would think that, especially with what goes on in this world. But me, you know, I always feel like there are reasons why certain things happen. I brought up personal experiences for me that you look back and like, you know, there's a reason why this happened, or this happened for a reason. But as far as conspiracy theories, I try to stay away from them. Some of my favorite classic rock bands, Nick O'Brien. Oh my God, I used to love Quiet Riot, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Yes. I think the first ever rock group that I ever bought music from was Yes. I bought, what was it, I almost said 90210. It was Fragile and then Close to the Edge. Was that it? I think that's what it was. Loved Jimi Hendrix. Jesus Christ. I've brought this up before. One of the coolest memories I have of being a Jimi Hendrix fan. I bought a CD of Jimi Hendrix's greatest hits. And it has to have been in the early 90s, I bought this CD. And I remember getting a computer around 1993 or 1994. And I remember putting the disc, and some of you out there, this has happened to. And speak up if this happened to you or you remember you doing this. I remember putting the Jimi Hendrix disc into the computer to play the music through the computer. And when the Winamp player opened, or whatever player opened, I look at it and I see all these psychedelic colors and I see like this rotating screen and everything. And I'm like, holy shit, this was hidden on the disc. And you put it in the computer and you got to see a visual show. It was phenomenal, man. I mean, I always liked Van Halen, Def Leppard. Big fan of Def Leppard. My brother went to their concert. I could have gone. I didn't go. Twisted Sister. Is that a Twisted Sister pin? What do you want to do with your life? I want to tweet. Dun, dun. My God, those music videos. And you got, you know, as the years went by, I used to like a little bit of the rock music simply from watching Beavis and Butthead. I mean, they would show some of those music videos, and I'm like, okay, I could get into them and this and that. I mean, obviously, Pantera was another one. Metallica, those were pretty much some of them. But if I had to narrow it down to one, probably Pink Floyd. Probably Pink Floyd would be my number one out of all. U2, without a doubt, U2. I used to say, me and my friends used to go camping in Bear Mountain. We would put on U2's CD in the car, and by the time it would end, I don't know if the last song was Where the Streets Have No Name. I don't remember what the last song was, but by the time it got to the last song, we were at Bear Mountain. Like, you knew, like, from by the time that CD would be over, you'd be where you were going to be. Jim Z, if I was an 80s jobber, would I rather get a haircut from Brewer's Beefcake or have Jake Roberts put Damien on me? I'd rather get a haircut from Brewer's Beefcake. In fact, I could have had a haircut from Brewer's Beefcake. No joke. VPW, that I did a lot of shows for about, what, like a dozen years ago? They were bringing in Brutus Beefcake once, and they wanted someone to take the sleeper and get his head shaved. I don't remember if Vinny Guido got his head shaved, but I said, I'll do it. But I think at the time I was being like a babyface manager. If anybody remembers Grim Reaper's dog, remember when they accidentally dropped the dog, and then, you know, I had the dog do the Bronco Buster, and I don't remember whose face. But I would have done it. I would have loved it, would have done it. I wouldn't have felt comfortable with Damien. Devin M, do I think AEW overdoes it with all the factions? Yeah, but you know what? They're putting factions out there to see which members become diamonds in a rough. Because they're new and because they got WWE, obviously, is the big machine. You know, they don't have the time to build maybe like another promotion would. And you don't have the caliber of big name talent just sitting out there or people defecting. So doing the factions allow some people to stand out, and ultimately they'll break out on their own. Jody Moncrief, why do people in New York City keep voting for people who raise taxes and now during COVID want to put them out of work? I don't know. All I know is that I love these people online who try to Monday morning quarterback and say that. You know, it comes down to some very specific areas, and they're promised a lot of things. Some people, and this is probably the number one problem, people vote on emotion more than anything else. That's why Trump lost the election, not because of election fraud. I mean, you might think it's a form of fraud, but Trump lost the election because of all the mail-in ballots. And that was brilliantly done by the Democrats. What they did was they mailed ballots to almost everybody. And a lot of people who have never voted or would have never voted, they had their ballot sitting in the house. And every month or so, there'd be some wild accusation about Trump. Oh, Trump called disabled veterans losers and suckers. Even though there were like 20, 25 people that came to his defense immediately said he never said that. And because he said he never said that, Biden originally said, oh, if he said that, I'd punch him in the face. And Trump said, I didn't say that. So instead of just leaving it at that, Biden then went on campaigns and acted like Trump said it. So what happened? You had a lot of people who said, you know what? Making fun of disabled veterans is over the top. Boom. You know what? I wasn't going to vote, but now I'm going to mark it and send it in. The Proud Boys thing, I don't think Trump had a clue who those people were. Trump is a billionaire. Trump is shielded from most of the world. So his cabinet are the ones at fault for not educating him about these racist groups. When they threw that out there, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, man, fuck this guy. Every month there'd be something else. And sooner or later, that ballot sitting on people's dressers by the millions and millions and millions. You know what? The hell with this guy. Just get him out. And that's what happened. That's how they won the election. So, you know, you make it seem really, really desperate out there, and then you try to give a little bit, and then you feel like, oh, they fought for me, and then they vote for people. You know, my answer to you, Jody, and everybody else is, why don't you ask the people who keep voting these people in office and then complain after? Don't ask me. I didn't vote these people in office. Ask the people who did and let them give you the answer. You notice why people out there always throw these general terms on social media, but they never ask the people who actually voted because they don't want people ganging up on them. So if you're not going to do that, you shouldn't ask the question. Not you, but I'm just saying in general. Philip Promoter, Merry Christmas, belated Christmas to you. My Christmas was okay. New Year's resolutions, yeah, gonna just block all the noise out entirely as if, I hate to say it like this, but everybody just perished in an accident. You know, their social, you know, perished in an accident. Just focus, being focused, you know, managing my time better, you know, dividing my time better. At minimum, I want to have my wedding date set up before the end of the year. You know, I got to, this year, very, very selfish. I am worrying about me, my family, my friends, you know, my fiance, but me. Not doing work for others anymore. I'm not wasting all my, put it this way. There's always someone out there that needs someone's help. And if I could help someone, I'm there for them. No question. But when someone needs help, and then you realize, that's what they're doing all the other times. No, get someone else to do your dirty work. And I'm just saying just in general, because I get people that ask me to help them with this. You know, could you help me with this? Could you set this up for me? Could you help me? And look, I know what some of you are thinking. It's not any one person. I get, you know, DMs, I get tweets. I get, hey, could you steer me in this direction? Or could you look at this and tell me what I could do here and this and that? And then I'm like, well, did you try this? No. Did you try this? No. And again, I don't want to specific anyone, but I'll give you one. Last week. Oh, I was wondering what fell. I got my autographed Vince Russo. Thank you, Vince Russo. Send it to me. Merry Christmas. Last week, I said I was going away for Christmas. Wasn't going to be around for 3 days. Wasn't doing shows, wasn't doing nothing. So I was not able to record a Patreon show on Thursdays. It's not my responsibility anymore. So someone else recorded the show. And, you know, I was around for a short period of time, Christmas Eve. And I ended up emailing, DMing the person. I said, look, upload the episode to a server. And then send me the link. Email me the link. For 4 days, I got nothing. And I had people saying to me, where's the show? Where's the show? Where's the show? I don't know. I didn't get anything. Then I found out that this particular podcaster thought that they could send a 100-megabyte attachment in an email. Just think about that for a minute. And I'm like, wait a minute. I gave you a link to upload it to this server, and then email me the link so I could take it from the server. And instead, the quick way out, no, I'll just email the attachment. There is no email service that it takes. So what happens? I didn't get the show for 4 days. And I'm supposed to fix that person's taking shortcuts, you know? So my point is that, you know, this is when I say when people need to really do their own thing, you know, that should be podcast 101 with stuff like that. But look, in defense of people out there, that does happen. But that's why you learn this stuff, you know. So, you know, my New Year's resolution is to be extremely selfish and focused. Because I know if I'm selfish and focused, I will get all my work done. I will enjoy myself tremendously. I will put out as good of a product as I could possibly put out. And I will be very happy with spending the time with my family and friends. You know, I think some people out there think that if I'm not doing a show and it's not 8 to 5 where I'm in the office, that I'm just sitting on the computer just waiting to do things. No, I'm trying to spend time with my family, time with my fiance, doing this, doing that, doing this. I'm busy, but a good busy. So, Prince Albert's, after the world has recovered and everyone has finished their investigation of the virus, how do we think the rest of the world will react towards China? I expect China to be given a bill. I don't know how you do it, but I expect them to be paying tremendously. And it's going to be fascinating to see how China reacts to it. I want to see if China turns around and you know, raises their prices for everything that they export to the United States. There's going to be a mess on the way. A mess. But I expect China to get hit with a bill. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see some gigantic lawsuits filed against China. Lawsuits. I'm talking class action lawsuits featuring hundreds, if not millions of people. I'm telling you, watch. King Bling Blah. Bling blah. Have I ever had people come up to me on the outside of wrestling events that I'm fans of, like at a store on the street? Yes. Yes, absolutely. The one that I always tell, because it's the oddest one of them all, I was fishing about maybe 12 years ago. No, maybe a little longer, about 15 years ago. No, about 12 years ago. Yeah, because this was after the Don Tony character was created and everything. About 12 years ago, I was fishing about an hour away from my house. Me and my friends were going to Lake Ronkonkoma. And there was a Sports Authority. That's the name of a sports store out there. And we stopped at Sports Authority to get some, like, fishing line, some lures, some other things. And we were in Sports Authority, and we were by the fishing section, and I was talking to one of my friends. My friend went to the counter and asked the guy, you know, could you, you know, you recommend this or recommend that? And meanwhile, my other friends were looking at stuff too. So as I'm talking to my friend, the guy behind the counter is like, I know you from somewhere. And me, you know, like I didn't think at the time, well, you know, I did managing work for VPW's Wrestling Federation, which is not that far away, but it's not in the vicinity. So I didn't think it had anything to do with wrestling. I was like, no, I don't live around here. And he's like, no, but I know you from somewhere. I never even thought of the shows. And then maybe about 2-3 minutes later, I just hear someone yell out, Don Tony! That's where you're Don Tony. You're Don Tony, right? I'm like, yeah, that's me. And he's like, holy shit. I've had two or three people over the years that I'll be at, like, I actually went to a funeral about 3-4 years ago. And while I was at the funeral, someone introduced me to someone else and said, oh, he does this wrestling show. Yeah, I know he is. That's Don Tony. Another guy had knew me by de Blasio. Oh, that's, you're de Blasio. So, you know, it's cool. I mean, there's been other incidents as well, but the Sports Authority one was the weirdest one because I was so far away from the house and never expected that, but that was pretty cool. In fact, I'll tell you another one, and this was cool because if any of you out there still talk to EC Negro, the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, he will tell you that this is 100% legit. When I first met my fiance 8 and a half years ago, we went to the Outback Steakhouse or some restaurant in the Queen Center Mall. And we were waiting to go in, like we were waiting for us to be called. And I bumped into EC Negro and we were outside and we were talking a little bit and everything. And then all of a sudden I hear somebody yell out, yo, DT. And I turned around and it was like two or three fans of the shows. And it was funny because, you know, I was right next to EC Negro. EC Negro is a million times more famous than I am. And then when they realized it was EC Negro, they didn't recognize him because they always saw him in his character, in his outfits. Me, they never really see me other than pictures because I was doing audio. So that was fun as well. Fun. That's always fun. Love that. Happy holidays to Space Mountain. Woo! pick my favorite. Flo from Progressive. Jake from Steak Farm. By the way, it's a different Jake now. Dennis Haysbert from Allstate, or J.K. Simmons from Farmers. Dennis, he's the one that, you know, he's got the, you know, like the Band-Aids on him and he keeps crashing his car. And yeah, that's Dennis. I like Dennis. Seriously. How Dennis drives is how I used to drive. Dennis is crazy, man. I'm not a fan of Flo from Progressive, and I used to write with Progressive. Never liked Flo. Jake from State Farm, like I said, they changed him over the years. It's not the original Jake. And J.K. Simmons from Farmers, I think he's older, right? He's the one that always diagnoses, like, the claims and stuff like that. And which type of heterosexual porn genre am I not attracted to the most? What type of heterosexual porn genre? I don't even know what you mean by heterosexual porn genres. Me, it's simple. Attractive girl, you know, gets pounded, you know, or, you know, you got to elaborate a little bit further. Now, the good thing is we're going to start doing Q&As a little bit more often. I don't know if we could do it every 7 days. That's kind of cutting it close, but maybe every 10 days. So you get three each month instead of two. You know, some people are telling us to incorporate it in the memberships a little bit. Maybe we'll do something that with the memberships, your questions are answered for. We haven't decided anything yet. Like I said, we don't want to take away anything from anyone here that's not doing a membership. We don't want to force anybody to have to, you know, pay for something. But elaborate, I will answer on the next one. I will give you my honest, straight-up answer. Better breakdancing movie, Beat Street or Breakin' 2? Woo. Probably Beat Street. I like the original Breakin'. There's no stopping us, no stopping. I hated that song after a while. That song, when it first came out, was pretty cool. It was very uplifting to people. Then you heard it every 30 minutes on the radio, and I disliked it like this. I'm just glad you didn't put Staying Alive in there with John Travolta. Not Cyanide Fever, but Staying Alive. Oh my God. That's the worst. Even though it's not breakdancing, but my preferred breakfast drink, Bloody Mary, Screwdriver, Greyhound, or Mimosa. My fiance, Mimosa, not even close. For me, I've never had a screwdriver for breakfast. I don't think I've ever had a Greyhound, but I've had Bloody Marys. So I will tell you, if it was up to me, I probably would have a Bloody Mary out of the four. Tuxedo Earth, favorite Christmas moments in wrestling? I don't know, man. You know, like some of the street fights where they use a lot of Christmas ornaments and stuff are always fun. You know, I mean, they've had some Santa appearances that were kind of hokey. I mean, I always loved Balls Mahoney's appearance because I got to know him personally before he passed. You know, as far as Christmas and wrestling, you know, for me, it's just like the other holidays. I mean, I'm more thinking about Christmas than I'm thinking about wrestling. And you got to understand, too, especially when you get to Christmas and New Year's, most of this stuff is pre-recorded. Spoilers used to always come out, and just like it came out last week. So, you know, you kind of spoil a little bit. And, you know, people that were gushing about SmackDown's rating Friday, I'm not going to poo-poo on it, but a lot of those people don't realize that a tremendous part of that number could have been the overrun, you know, that led into SmackDown. Remember, I always say with AEW that if it's preempted for, like, you know, they have a lot of people that didn't change the channel in the beginning and they were still on the same channel, and then wrestling comes on and they get credited for that first quarter hour rating. I want to see what the quarter hour rating was for SmackDown from quarter one to quarter two. And if it is what I believe it is, it's going to prove exactly what I've been saying all along. So, favorite Christmas memories? Spending it with family. spending it with family. When I was younger, when I was not allowed yet to stay out late at night, me and my friends would always say, oh, could we go to Christmas Mass? We're so religious. And that would just be the excuse for all of us to get together and hang out at midnight. Then after Mass was over, we were allowed to go to the diner. So we would go to the Georgia Diner or the Maspeth Diner, for anyone that isn't from my neck of the woods. And then we'd go home at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And this was, like I said, this is when I was a teenager, before I was allowed to stay out in the wee hours of the morning. So at that time, you know, when I was a kid, you know, obviously opening the presents that my parents got me. As a teenager, going to midnight Mass and staying out late one time a year with my friends. When I got older, you know, just being able to enjoy some of the things, the older things, having somebody with you, seeing the look on their face when they open up something you bought them. And now it's spending time with my family. Spending time with my family. It's the ultimate Christmas gift, the fact that they're still around. Why is Christmas so offensive now in schools and the media? Because they just bitter at people celebrating stuff. There are other forms of holidays this holiday season that everybody has no problem with. But when it comes to Christmas, because of the religious part of it, and because of this celebration, you know, I see people, not everybody celebrates Christmas. And I just ignore those people. You know, I just, they're looking for attention. Don't give it to them. Don't give it to them. I laugh at people that say, oh, that person posted it just for attention, but you just gave them attention. Crazy Cruiserweight, which would I rather have as a pet, a salamander or a tortoise? Probably a tortoise, believe it or not. I actually think tortoises are pretty cool. As a movie extra, which role would I take? A prisoner in a cafeteria, hostage number 30, a crowd member for a college game, or construction worker number 5. I would be a prisoner in a cafeteria. Because in a college game, I don't think I would stand out all that much. As construction worker, you know, I'd have to wear flannel or half-cut shirts. I'd look like a goof. I don't think I want to be a hostage. So I'd be a prison person. Which would I rather spend the night in for $5,000? At an abandoned hospital or an abandoned mansion? Mansion. I wouldn't mind either one, actually. I know it would be creepy, but the mansion, I think I would probably be just in awe of what I see. Even if it was dusty and old and decrepit, I would probably still get a kick out of it. Hospital, I'd probably look for old drugs. See if there's any old oxys, you know, like hidden in like one of the drawers somewhere. So that's what I would do. David Marcantonio, thank you for the kind words, my friend. What is my all-time dream match? Wow. See, I was huge growing up with Foley, Morocco, Terry Funk, Snuka. Like, I got all my matches. The only one that I probably really fantasized for a while, and I got to see it because I was involved in it, and I showed you the magazine when Mike Frigerio passed away earlier this year. Seeing Snuka and Sabu going at it. Always wanted to see Snuka and Sabu going at it. Mass Maniac was obsessed with having that match happen. Yes, Snuka was at the way past his prime, but I would have loved to have seen Snuka, Wildman Snuka, and Sabu going at it, you know, just crazy ass. And look, it's happened, but as far as a full-blown hardcore feud, I would have loved it. Loved it. Let's see. If I could watch one movie for the rest of my life, what would it be? Spaceballs, Adventures of Ford Fairlane, maybe Goodfellas. How's that for three? Probably Spaceballs because it makes me laugh. Spaceballs, the lunchbox. Roger, I answered your advice question about the 80 hours and everything on Patreon. I know you got the advice, but please let me know how that ended up for you So, you know, basically, for those that don't know, his job gave him 80 hours of COVID paid time off this year. Next year, it only given 40 because obviously the vaccine will be here before you know it. And he wanted to know if he should use them, let it roll over, or cash them out. And I told him, roll them over. As long as your company is secure, roll them over. Because if you don't need the funds right now, save that for a rainy day. This way, if something goes wrong, you know you got 80 hours, 2 weeks paid time off over and above your holiday and your regular vacation time. Noob, what's up, Noob? Is everyone tired of Asuka's Raw Women's title run due to the lack of opponents? I don't think anybody is tired of her run because no one is saying take the title off of her. You know what I mean? We're disappointed as far as the matches that she's not having, but that's what happens when she goes through so many people and the way WWE divvied up the women's roster with Raw or SmackDown. They focused on Asuka facing a core number of people for so long that anybody else that she feuds with, it feels like a step below. You know, you want to tease Lana. You want to originally Zelina Vega. Maybe you do Peyton Royce or you do. It all feels like a step down. And that's WWE's fault. That's not Asuka's fault. That's not any of the wrestlers' fault. You know, it's just nobody is sick of Asuka having a title. We're just sick of, you know, the lack of competitors for her or legitimate contenders. And that's on WWE. Two questions and we're out of here. Big Dick Cheney, worst Christmas gift I ever got. I talk about this all the time. Up until a year or two ago, because I was heavier, I never liked button-down like flannel shirts. I never liked like button-down dress shirts that had like, you know, like look dressy. Like me, I was always the type, if I have a button-down shirt, it's got to be one that I could add a tie and wear a suit jacket with. My brother would always get me these flannel shirts. Never wore them. Always a polo guy, polo shirt guy. And I remember telling my mom like 6-7 years ago, Ma, tell my brother, thank you, but I have plenty of these shirts. You know, tell him to save his money. And, you know, it's not like he was gifting them to me because we were two totally different sizes. I was a double XL and he was an L. So I don't think anybody, you know, mistaken him for a double XL every single year. But then after I said that, it's almost like he doubled it. And I would open the present up and I'd give my mom a look in the corner like, you know, like, come on, again? So, you know, Nick, I love you, but those shirts were awful. He stopped the last 2 years. And the funny thing is now because I dropped some weight, I don't mind wearing them. I actually wore two of them over the last couple of months. So, favorite holiday wrestling match? You know, look, like I said before, the holiday-themed matches, I don't particularly, you know, they're okay with a little Halloween theme, but if you really force me to pick one match, I always, 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 always loved Holiday Hell 1995 ECW Cactus Jack versus Sabu. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just go online and watch it. Holiday Hell 1995 Cactus Jack versus Sabu. I was there live and in person, laughed my ass off, had a ball watching it. And I'm pretty sure it was Holiday Hell 95 because I went to these events, so kind of remember that's what it was. And Paul Bielowski, his wife is Italian, and making a sauce is like religion. And he got her an oversized army-sized pot so she could make enough sauce to freeze. How's my family sauce-making skills? My mom makes a mean-ass sauce. Over the last couple of years, we've been ordering from, you know, an Italian takeout place. My mom cooking, it's really, you know, like difficult on her because of her health. So we order, but my mom makes a mean sauce. And what I would do is my mom makes an awesome lasagna, awesome spaghetti and meat sauce. Awesome, you know, pizza with just garlic, olive oil, and anchovies on it. Don't ask me why I like it, but it's pretty good. And what I would always do is around the holidays, I would always ask her to make a little bit more. And what I would do is I would vacuum pack it and throw it in the freezer. And then 6-8 months later, I'd whip it out of the freezer, microwave it, eat it, and it would taste as if exactly like it did on the holiday. So there are certain types of food that my mom would make that I would vacuum freeze and just save it for a day that I really wanted to spoil myself. And that's when I would whip it out. But I do that with my diet right now because I am allowed some sauce to a certain extent. In fact, I think tonight for dinner, I'm going to have pasta made out of lupin flour. And I'm going to have that with some spicy marinara sauce. So I do make a little sauce on my own without sugar. And then I'll put them in little, like, they're like mason jars, but only this big. I fill them up with, like, 4 ounces of sauce, and then I freeze them. This way, whenever I want to have a sauce, whip one out of the freezer, let it defrost, or throw it in the microwave and let it defrost, and then just add a little pasta to it and eat it. So, anyway, with that said, everyone, I am out of here. Now, if you notice, I didn't put up a thread to leave questions for the next episode, because in the next couple of days, I'm going to talk to Mish. We're going to figure out how we're going to do this. The next one, I think it's going to feature both of us. We'll spicing it up a little bit. But I will definitely post something on the channel within the next week, and I will let you know when we're going to do the next Q&A and, you know, date and everything. We'll give you an opportunity to send questions, obviously. And, you know, I will get confirmation about New Year's Eve. As of right now, it's on. It's on. I will be here New Year's Eve, just hanging out with all of you, talking about whatever, and we'll see where that goes. So this week's going to be a fun week. You got Breakfast Soup Raw tonight with Mish and myself. Tomorrow we got Patreon. Tomorrow it's going to be Mish, myself, and Kevin Castle. Wednesday is Wednesday Night Dynamite. Thursday will be New Year's Eve. Friday will be the Don Tony Show after SmackDown. And then, you know, we'll see about doing one during the weekend as well. So, and like I said, Thursdays will probably be a regular thing going forward. So we'll figure it out. But I thank you, as always, for the support. Post your feedback here. I am always mingling with you on YouTube. And let me know what you thought of the episode. So, all right, manageable 1 hour and 44 minutes. I'll take it. So, everyone, Happy New Year. Much love, as always. And like I said earlier, Mish and I will be paying tribute to Brody Lee on tonight's episode. So I'll have timestamps up on that episode. In fact, I'll have it posted here on the show too, so you could just quick link it and check that out. So everyone be well. Much love as always. Thank you for a great 2020. You know, helping me go through it just as much as some of you say I helped you. So I will definitely catch you all in 2021. We got a bunch of shows still to go before then. So, all right, everybody, be well. I'll talk to you soon. Ciao.